Welcome to RevMD, a podcast created for healthcare professionals by healthcare professionals. We will share tips on medical billing and coding, as well as workflow optimization to help practices succeed, thrive, and grow revenue.
I am so excited to welcome you guys to another week of the RevMD podcast and introduce Dr. Una, who truly deserves no introduction. She has been an amazing just force of nature in the physician world, somebody I'm, you know, personally been following for some time now, and I'm in her business program. And so without further ado, Dr. Una, would you please introduce yourself and share your amazing story?
Of course. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I really love talking with you. We're going to have a fun conversation here. For those of you who haven't met me, my name is Neka Una Chukwu. Everybody calls me Dr. Una, including my sister. So, you know, that's my name. I'm a pediatrician by training. And I am the founder of EntreeMD. And EntreeMD is a company that really just exists to help doctors build profitable businesses so they can live life and practice medicine on their terms. And so I do that with a, you know, podcast by the same name, the EntreeMD podcast. I have the EntreeMD method book and then the EntreeMD business school. So I'm all about that. The version of my story that Dr. Heather, I think would you and your audience will find particularly helpful is I started off, you know, as a socially awkward, super shy, introverted introvert. Entrepreneurship was not going to be my thing, like at all. And I worked at my first, you know, attending job right out of residency. And I thought I was going to do that, you know, till whenever. And I remember walking in and seeing my first patient, and I was super excited. I'm an attending now, the buck stops with me and all of that kind of stuff. And I did my first, you know, prescription, all of that, sent it out. I was like, you know, first patient seen. And I walked out of that room, and I cannot describe to you how anticlimactic that was. Here I was with my first attending job, gonna really earn money, get to practice medicine the way I want, but I couldn't shake off that feeling that there was more. Like there had to be more. This can't be everything. I was like, so I'm gonna do what I just did, 25 times a day till I'm 70. Like something's wrong with that, you know. And so it was there. I did not know entrepreneurship was a thing for me. I didn't know what more could possibly be. But I was left with that feeling. And about 9 months after, my boss called me and said, how about you start your own, you know, he was like, here's a 5-year contract. I want you to work with me for a long time. And I was like, yeah, I can't do that. I mean, I had been in residency for 3 years. I'd been married for 3 years. So my definition of eternity was 3 years, you know? And so when he said 5 years, I'm like, I can't do that. But I was moving anyway. And so I was not going to be able to stay in the job regardless. And he said, well, go start your own practice. I was like, nobody starts a practice a year out of residency. And in case you missed this really nice size bump here, I'm pregnant. Like nobody, like this is not the time to start a practice. And he's like, yeah, you're doing almost everything you do there here. And if you need help, I'll support you. In the beginning, I didn't believe him, you know, but I did start, you know, looking at other practices and what they were doing. And as they say, ignorance is bliss. And so I ignorantly started my own practice. And my philosophy was hang the shingle and they will come. And I hung the shingle and they did not come, right? And so that's when I fell in love with the process of learning about entrepreneurship, because I realized, you know, being a great physician does not make up for the fact that you don't have any business education or business sense and, you know, things like that. And so I started going after that and ultimately got the practice to where it was really successful. That was, you know, 13 years ago at this point. It was really successful, got a great team on board, and it's been running like a well-oiled machine. So that's me in private practice before EntreeMD.
And I think what you said is amazing that it's not like you trained for this. It's not like you spent all of this time becoming this expert in business prior to going out on your own. You didn't, you learned it kind of, you know, as you went. It was an experience that you went after. You sought to learn what you needed to become excellent at being an entrepreneur and running your own practice.
Yeah, because we don't get any business education at all. And but the thing is that you can't a practice is a business. You can't do it without acquiring that. And so sometimes we would get stuck. That's where I started off. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm stuck. Now I have these contracts, I have this lease, I can't get out. Like if I could have run away, I would have. And you know, it really was a pivotal moment when, you know, I read the book that we both love now, Eat That Frog.
Yeah.
And it said that all business skills are learnable. And I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, now I may not know everything, but one thing that I can do is I can learn. And I started learning all those things. So this is something that is available to every physician. Every physician who is an entrepreneur or wants to be an entrepreneur, we can learn, right? And so there's the books, there's a podcast, there's the programs and all of those things, but we can learn to thrive as entrepreneurs. And I know we've been sold this narrative that we don't make great entrepreneurs, but you know my philosophy on that. Of course, we have the potential to be some of the most amazing entrepreneurs. We have the work ethic, we have the exposure, we have the connections, we have the ability to learn, and we lead with service. We don't lead with profit. And that's what makes us, like, we get to be the most innovative, most impactful entrepreneurs.
I love that, lead with service. You know, everyone in business needs to make money in order for the businesses to run and then to give back and do all the things you want to do in life. You know, when you think back to those early days and you're trying to get your practice off the ground, you know, do you remember kind of some of those first key things in order to make patients come, but then also to keep yourself organized? Where do you go with step A, B, and C? Like, what do you do first? Because it can be overwhelming looking at the mountain of stuff that you need to do.
Yeah. So there's a neat way of looking at it. I mean, if you think about it, for your practice to succeed, whether that's in impact or revenue, you have to have patients. And so if you don't have patients, that's your number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 assignment, is to acquire patients, right? Because sometimes we would be distracted by, well, I want to make my website prettier. I want to renew my logo. I want to make sure I have, you know, all my processes mapped out, which those are all great, but it doesn't matter if you don't have patients, right? And so if you're at a point where you're like, my panel is not full, we're not bringing enough patients to break even and all of that, that is the first thing, right? And so for me, as you know, as a really shy introvert, that was the, and as a physician, right? Because I was my philosophy at the time is I'm a professional. I don't market. I don't sell. I don't do things like that, right? And so it was really hard for me to do that. And I had to get out of my own way and realize there is you, the physician, and there is you, the entrepreneur. You, the entrepreneur, markets and sells and promotes and asks for referrals and does all those things. And yes, it's uncomfortable in the beginning, but everything we've done has been uncomfortable, right? My first IV was uncomfortable. My first spinal tap was uncomfortable. My first, you know, presentation was uncomfortable. But we don't run away from discomfort. I don't know a physician who can say I run away from discomfort, because discomfort is how we got here.
Medical school was discomfort. Good,
yeah,
discomforting.
Yeah. Yeah. Even applying for it. Like, don't even worry about going to it. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of like, you know, I had to come to terms with that. Like, the fear is not going to go away. The discomfort is not going to go away before I do those things. So I started going out. I'm a pediatrician. So I started going out to meet OBGYNs, going to daycares, going to schools, all those things, telling them about what I do. And really, really promoting that, asking for referrals and things like that. So when there are no patients, that really is the first thing. And the second thing would be, and this is for everyone who owns a practice, we tend to be perfectionists. We tend to be really good at a lot of things. And so sometimes hiring and delegation is a struggle, right? And so that is something, like, if I could, you know, looking back, if I could tell someone, you want to embrace that as soon as possible, is really hiring and getting things done through your team. Because sometimes we hire, but we still do all the work, right? And we still have a hard time delegating. So the mindset becomes, what do I do that somebody else in this place can do? Because you are the most expensive team member, right? And so if there's something somebody else can do, then you should start practicing actively getting that off your plate, and not just task, but also thinking. So for instance, wow, 2 weeks from now, our schedule looks like it has a lot of gaps in it. What can we do to fill that up? somebody else should be thinking about that as far as noticing it, and somebody else should be troubleshooting it. Like, you, so that's what I mean by delegating the thinking, not just a task, but also the strategic thinking. And so if you can do that, it frees you to do bigger things, to really stay in your zone of genius as a business owner, right? And to do all the strategic things because you're not bogged down by all the details. And so hiring, firing, building company culture, all of those things around team, that's something you really want to embrace. The third thing that, you know, I'd really talk about as far as, you know, what the next steps would be is really making that distinction between me as the, so in my case, lead pediatrician, because I stayed in that role in my mind for a very long time, versus me, the CEO of my practice, right? Because if you want to build something that is profitable, is really impactful, you want to build something that maybe one day when you do want to step away from it, is set up for you to step away from it, then you want to start thinking that way. And that would require a lot of relearning, right? Or learning period, right? Yeah. How do I show up as the boss? How do I delegate? How do I make strategic decisions? How do I not have hives when I look at profit and loss statements because I have no idea what it's saying? You know, like all of those things, you want to start, you know, leaning into that. How do I build a company that I can sell? Now, I say this especially for private practice. It doesn't mean you need to sell it, right? And I think it was a client of mine, Dr. Dosuma, she says a practice that is worth selling is a practice worth keeping, right? So you don't have to, but you want to build it that way. Why? Someday you're going to exit the practice. Either you decide I want to retire, or maybe there's a life circumstance that happens, or you just decide I don't want to do it anymore. And you want to be in a position where you can do something with what you've built. There was a lady who tried to sell her practice. She was older. She was ready to retire. But the whole time she had the practice, she had treated it as her job. She was the only doctor there. She had three exam rooms. They're still doing paper charts. Everything was linked to her. She was in everything. So there was really nothing to sell. There was no systems. There was no processes. There was no team. There was nothing. And if she walked away, the practice would fall apart because it's her job, right? And so if she had embraced that CEO role, she could have built it differently and she could have been rewarded at the end of her time for her hard work, as opposed to just having to let it go because she couldn't sell it. She just had to shut it down.
And it brings up a good point, you know, and something that we're even trying to do in our own business. It's how many activities are we doing that we can systematize? You know, and so how many things can we do that we can put an SOP around, that we can organize? Because like you said, if I'm going to delegate these things, which I agree, I have a very hard time doing, so I get that. But if I create a template to say, okay, these are steps A to Z, and even making videos on them to say, okay, now that's the package I'm going to hand off to this staff member to help do this. And they do it exactly as I have instructed. So it's not like it's losing its Heather touch. It's being able to have somebody else help me with from a bandwidth so we can do more, you know?
Yeah. And what you talk about is really powerful, because I found like I really struggle with delegation because I was like, nobody can do it but me. But what I found is a lot of times the truth of the matter is we're not actually clear on what we do and how we do it. That's why we struggle to delegate. Not really because because if I say, this is the way I respond to this situation, right? And this is exactly what I do, then it's easy to pass that on. A lot of times we're just doing things by, you know, the way we feel that day and stuff like that. So you can't delegate that because it hasn't been structured. So what you're talking about is what actually makes it so much easier to delegate, because you've unscrambled all of that. You're like, this is how I respond and this is exactly how I execute that. And then it's easier to delegate.
Correct. That's exactly right. And I have to say, a lot of these wonderful things I've been learning myself have been part of your business program. And I don't know where we would be as a company if it weren't for that. I mean, I'm learning so much. The community, it's amazing. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about EntreMD and just that amazing community that you've built.
Yeah, EntreMD, I'd say it's my fifth child. I love it. It's like, I feel like I'm so honored that I get to get a legacy play, and that's my legacy play. It really started out from, you know, understanding my own pain, where I started a business and I was just floundering. I mean, like, I didn't know anything about anything. I didn't know how to hire, I didn't know how to fire. I was scared of marketing, scared of selling, scared of everything. And when I finally learned that these are skills and they're learnable, and even as an introvert, I can dominate on stage, I can market confidently, I can talk about what I do, I can confidently ask people to work with me and all of that, then I started thinking about all the other Dr. Unas who are going through struggling in business or thinking they couldn't be entrepreneurs. And I was like, man, like, if only they knew, right? Like, this is within the realm of possibility for them. Like, things will be completely different. And so, you know, we started off with that. And then 2 years ago, we launched the EntreMD Business School. And it's, you know, it's a year long program where we just put everybody through the entire process from, I think I have a great business idea, all the way to whatever they want to do, right? You want to build a 100K business? Good. 250, a million, 2 million. I think the highest we have in the school right now is 7 million. Whatever you want to do, like, it's your choice, right? But we will give you the tools, we'll give you the strategy, and we'll give you the community. And the community is so powerful because I think as physicians, entrepreneurship is really so strange that you need to be in a container with other physician entrepreneurs who are doing the same thing, because it takes a lot of a rub off for you to identify as an entrepreneur, to start thinking like an entrepreneur, get results like an entrepreneur, give up the guilt about making money and all of those things. I think it takes a whole community. And so that's the reason why we built it that way. And in the last 2 years, we've served over 200 doctors, and it's been an unbelievable journey. So we have that, we have the podcast, we have the book, and it's all about supporting physicians. We've been lied to that we cannot be great entrepreneurs. It's a lie. I have hundreds of doctors now who are evidence, including you, you're a rock star, right? To show that, no, you can be, and you can still lead with service. We're just giving you a system to, you know, a way to build a business system around that so you can monetize it, so you can continue to do what you want to do to serve people.
I love it. And I think one of the key things is, like you said, having that community of people to say, like, shoot, I'm stuck. Like, I cannot figure this out. And there are times where I literally dream about whatever issue a client's having. I mean, I wake up and I'm like, how am I going to solve that? And I know I have a place to go to and go, okay. And not everybody, obviously, I don't think there's maybe any other medical billers on there, but there are other entrepreneurs who say, I've had something similar. I know how to solve that. Or have you thought about this? I mean, in our little success groups, I mean, truly just the system that you put in place in order for us to succeed has been incredible. So I cannot thank you enough.
Oh man, you just made my day. I'm so happy to hear that. And the thing that you've noticed actually is the way we built it intentionally, because we could have had all doctors in private practice or all physician coaches, all physicians who want to do products. But the thing about business systems is that the systems are the same, right? That what we're doing may be different, but you're going to need to overcome all the mindset things so you can take your place as an entrepreneur. You're going to learn to, you know, market. You're going to learn to sell. You're going to learn to do all of those things. You're going to learn how to build a team, all those things that are needed. And, you know, there's a statement, I don't remember who I first heard this from, but the person said a lot of times, innovation is not doing new things. Innovation is really borrowing things that work in one industry and bringing it into your own industry. And that's the beauty of the EntreMD Business School, is you can see what is a standard in the coaching industry and you can bring it into your private practice. And it's like, oh my goodness, no, everybody's like, we've never seen anything like this before, but it exists, right? So we get to see, it's almost like a buffet. You get to see all these things. You're like, huh, I think I'll take that, right? And when the pandemic hit, so 2020, our private practice actually did better in 2020 than in 2019. And the reason for that, when I look at it, is we took all the things that work in the online industry and then we brought it into the practice. So we leveraged email marketing. We leveraged using video to explain to people, this is why you can still come in the office. This is what, how we've made it safe. We went all into telemedicine. We did all of those things. And so we did not skip a beat. We did not close for one day. We did not one day tell the staff we cannot pay you. We thrived that year, but we borrowed all of that from a completely different industry. And so that's the reason why we built it that way. So you have access to innovation just because of who you're in community with.
Oh, that's such an incredible story. I love hearing that. And I know I've heard it before, but every time you say it, it's great. So I know for many of our listeners, they're private. There's some, a lot of them are single doc practices, small to medium sized practices. Obviously, as a team who helps with medical billing, and as someone who's ran your own practice, you know, from an advice perspective, what would you say helps support practices when it comes to billing?
To billing. So I'll say, first of all, I'll say, oh man, if you're in private practice and you're, especially if you're a solo doc, man, you rock. You rock. And I know that it can be challenging. It can be hard, but it's so doable. And so many people are doing it. And, you know, hang in there, learn what you need to learn, stay in touch with people like Dr. Heather, because she's the real deal. And she fights for docs in private practice, because you can do this. You can absolutely do this. I you know, so many times I wish I could quit. And I had so many people who supported me along the way. And I'm so glad that I didn't. Right. So I'll just start with that. But when it comes to billing, I find with most of the docs I talk with, is they're not even looking at it at all. I would even start from, it doesn't need to be technical. There's this thing of, I don't understand it. It's scary. It's so many numbers. It's billing. But literally, your billing system is like your aorta. And if there's a nick in it, you're bleeding out. And so even though it's uncomfortable, even though it may be scary, even though it's like, I don't understand any of these things, I want to invite you to think about the fact that maybe this is not as complicated as I think. It's not as complicated as any of your PALS algorithms or ACLS algorithms. It's not as complex as surgery. It's not as complex as a Krebs cycle. And we learned all of those, right? And so especially when you have access to someone like Dr. Signorelli, what she does is she breaks down, like, these are the metrics that you should be looking. So you don't have to know everything, right? But if you're to look at your practice daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly, as far as your numbers go, these are the things to look at. You want to learn those things so you can start having boss conversations with your billers. Because otherwise they'll play. They'll say, yeah, everything's good. But because you don't know the numbers, you're like, okay, they said everything is good. If you know the way you take care of your heart, that's the way you take care of your billing. Because you don't get paid because you saw patients. You get paid because you saw patients and claims and charges were sent out and claims were followed up with. And then the money made it to your bank account, right? And so don't run away from the billing department. Don't hide your head in the sand. I did that. So I'm not judging here. I did that as well. Don't do that. Just learn enough to have intelligent conversations and to know that your money is going in the right direction. That's probably the big, because that's the biggest thing I see is like, I don't even know what my AR is like things like that. Right. Yeah. And you're like, no, like, you don't get paid for seeing patients. Like, saying that I saw 20 patients today doesn't mean anything if the billing thing is not happening. Right. And so own it. It, as a CEO, that's part of your job. Your job is to make sure that your practice stays profitable so that you can continue to serve your patients. And so you don't have to tell your staff like, hey, we can't make payroll this week, right? And if you're going to do all that work, ultimately, your practice should be creating financial freedom and time freedom for you. And if you don't know the numbers, you may not know. And Dr. Signorelli, I haven't asked her this, but I'm sure she can tell you, there are some horror stories, like horror, like, you know, people think they're being paid. They have 200K. I don't know what the highest number you've seen in AR, like over 90 days. Like,
$1.5 million. And we've seen that in multiple practices, not
okay.
Just one.
There you go. Right. $1.5 million. So I need you to think, like, if you collected just 25% of that, that is $250,000 added added to your bottom line. You see what I'm saying? And so you don't want to not know what's going on. Like, ignorance is not bliss in this situation. You have to know. So if I could leave you with anything, it would be that you have to know.
And I would say 100% of the clients where we've taken on their large AR, it's been that they weren't given the metrics. They didn't know where to go look for them. And I get all of that. I get that we're not taught this. I think if anybody can, you know, learn something from our whole podcast, it's go find the metrics that you need. Go sit down with your billers, whomever they are. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you don't know what Dr. Una is talking about with billing metrics, you can go to our website and sign up. And then last, I'll just say, I'm so excited to have you on today. Truly, you've made an impact in our lives and our business. And so if anybody's looking to reach out to her, please go to her website, www.entremd.com. Go listen to her podcast, go buy her book, all the things that have truly made an impact in our practice. So that, I want to just thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you for having me. And for everyone listening, follow her. Like, I wish when I started my practice 13 years ago, I had someone who can tell me, just go here, right? Because I had to go Google and do all this stuff. But when you have a physician who understands the doctor piece, and understands the business, the billing piece, that is liquid gold. So you take full advantage of that. So if she has a masterclass, do it. If you missed it, ask her for the replay. Okay. But do it. It'll make a huge difference in your practice.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right. Good talking to you.
Thank you for joining the podcast this week. If you're in need of a new medical biller or team, please reach out at nationalrevenueconsulting.com. We take on a limited number of clients per month so that we can give every practice the attention they need during that transition period. Again, thanks so much and have a great week.